Today's scripture reading is from Isaiah chapter 48, verses 4, 9, 10, and 11. For I knew how stubborn you were. Your neck muscles were iron, your forehead was bronze. For my own name's sake, I delay my wrath. For the sake of my praise, I hold it back from you, so as not to destroy you completely. See, I have refined you. Though not as silver, I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. For my own sake I do this. How can I let myself be defamed? I will not yield my glory to another. This is God's word. You may be seated.
Good morning, church. In our generations, we pay great attention to our health, especially if we're getting more mature, like some of us, older generation. We care about our blood pressure, we care about our blood sugar, our cholesterol, we care about the hardening of our blood vessels. We also very much, and the younger people, they very much care about our physical, our body. Most companies these days, they actually have a budget for you to go and get massage. When I was still working in engineering, you know, I complained to my superior that I got a stiff neck, you know, using too much computer. And they were get them all excited, and then they send a specialist to my office, and then they measure the height of my keyboard, measure my eye level, and then they bought me a new $1,000 chair so that I feel more comfortable. They lower my keyboard, adjust my, and then they send me to a physio for massage. So we care very much about our body. And I think a lot of us also have some stiff neck problem using too much computer, right? This morning, Isaiah is also talking to us about stiff neck. For I know how stubborn you were, your neck muscles were iron, your forehead was bronze. The word muscle here, the Hebrew word is actually tendon. You know, when you go and eat your beef noodle soup, and sometimes it comes with a tendon, so that's actually the original word, but NIV translates as muscle. It sounds, I guess, more common. Your neck muscles were iron, and your forehead was bronze, so I immediately think of Iron Man. You know, I was going to use this as my topic for my sermon. But then I thought that this was not very spiritual to use a character like that for this important message. But here the prophet is very clearly stated that you have God's people, you have a problem. Your problem is that you have stiff neck, iron neck. Does it really mean that we used to look at the computer, they look at the computer too much, so they got a stiff neck? No, because you were stubborn. So here the prophet explained to us, stiff neck is about our stubbornness. Very often we say that our parents are stubborn. I'm trying to bring them to Christ, to church. I invited them to Alpha, and then they won't come, and then they come, and they fell asleep, and I brought them to worship, and then they were not excited. They're so stubborn. Or your spouse, if he or she is not a Christian, I try so hard to invite he or she to come to church to listen to the gospel, but she refused. We try to bring the gospel to our friend at school. At work is harder, at school is easier. But they're not interested. So we think that it's the non-Christians, the people outside church, that they are stubborn. They would not listen. This gospel is so true, so real to us. But other people, people outside church, would not listen. So they are stubborn. And the Bible called them stubborn people. But here, the prophet is not talking about the Gentiles, people outside God's family. And he wants to make this clear. So in verse 1, the prophet makes it very clear that he is talking to, listen, he is talking to you, descendants of Jacob. You who are called by the name of Israel, in case you wonder, who are the descendants of Jacob? You, Israel, who come from the line of Judah. Let's make no mistake, I'm talking about you. You who take oaths in the name of the Lord and invoke the God of Israel. You who call yourself citizens of the holy city, people from Jerusalem, and claim to rely on the God of Israel. The Lord Almighty is his name. So here the prophet bombard them with different titles, names, to make sure that I am talking about you. So you know that you are in trouble, you know, when your mother call you, you know, would Mr. Norman F.M. Tong come to the kitchen, please? You know that you're in trouble when the mom talk to you that way. So the prophet is making sure that I am talking about you, not the Gentiles, not the other people, but the people of God, you Israel. So this message is not for the people who whose heart is hardened, refuse to accept the gospel. Isaiah is talking about you, Christians, people in the church, the body of Christ, Christ's follower, so-called the soldiers of Christ. He's talking about you today. Why? After Isaiah named all these titles, and then he added one line here in verse 1, but not in truth or righteousness. You worship God, you call on the Lord's name, you call him the mighty God, you call him your Lord. You are Christians, followers, you are God's people. You pray to him even, but you are not calling him. You are not in truth or righteousness. You're talking about God's people. We come and worship God. You come to serve him, but there's no obedience. We may even make offerings, but our heart still focus on wealth, money. We come and worship, but we are not broken. We come with our pride, our stubbornness. Yes, we continue to call us Christians. We serve even. We come to church. We worship him, but yet we lack obedience. We may appear to be pious, but our hearts, we are unwilling. We are not willing to obey God. So Isaiah is calling the people of God, his people, with iron neck. He's obviously using an analogy here. In the ancient Near East, the primary power tool for farming is ox. So the farmer would put a wooden yoke across the neck of the animal. But the ox has to be obedient. The ox has to bow down and lower his head so that the farmer can put the yoke on his neck. But if the ox is not cooperating, then the farmer will have a hard time putting the yoke on the animal and do the farming. Or if the farmer tried to pull the ox to a different direction, if the ox has a stiff neck, not willing to follow, to obey, then the farmer cannot get his work done neither. So a stiff neck is about stubbornness. So Isaiah here is saying that God's people, with all these names, are stubborn. They just won't change. They just will not obey. And it is in the New Testament also, they are called stiff-necked people. Your hearts and ears are still uncircumcised. You are just like your ancestors. You always resist the Holy Spirit. Are we resisting the Holy Spirit today? We may be following Him, but we are not willing to be obedient in many things. We maintain our own idea. A bronze head, a bronze forehead. What does that mean? Iron neck, a bronze forehead. Meaning that we are still in sin. But after a while, after we commit the sin so often, so routinely, we no longer feel the shamefulness of being in sin. Bronze forehead, a bronze head. Just like that Iron Man I was showing you the picture. We no longer have this sensitivity to sin. And when we sin, in the same sin, we just keep going and going in circles. And psychologists tell us that why do people could not kick a bad habit? First, that temptation is always there. So number one is see the temptation. Right? All the junk food is there. So the person sees the junk food. You know that it's not healthy, especially with his health condition. But it's very easy to make instant noodle. It's only 3 minutes. And then you're hungry. So rather than cooking a proper meal, so you just pour hot water into this cup of instant noodle. And then you have this instant satisfaction. So sin is like that. The sin is always tempting us right in front of us, surrounding us. The cell phone is always there, right under our pillow, right next to our pillow. So when we wake up in the middle of the night, we take up the cell phone, and then we start checking, did Pastor Norman text me anything? Did he send his email? He always sends his email in the middle of the night. My friends reply me, and then it starts going, and you cannot sleep. And then the next morning, you say that, I have to kick this habit. No, I'm not going to do this again. But then you put your cell phone right next to you. Sin is like that, because we keep it close to us. And it's so easy for us to reach out to it. That's why I put all my chocolate in the basement. And I also promise that when I go down to the basement in that room, I only pick up one piece, and I do not eat it right there. I don't take it upstairs, sit down, and then eat it, because it makes it harder to go down there to get the second piece. So you need to make it more challenging for you. Keep the sins away. Make it a challenge. But it gets so easy that it becomes a vicious cycle. Things that we are not supposed to do, we keep doing it. We cannot kick the habit. But sin is not just doing things you're not supposed to do. Paul tells us that sin is also you're supposed to do things you're supposed to do and that you're not doing it. You're supposed to love people, but you're not loving people. That is also a sin. We have to worship God. If we are not worshiping Him, it's also a sin. Before the COVID, you may go to worship every Sunday, but the worship come up. No, the COVID came and you stopped. The church is closed. You cannot go to church to worship on Sunday. So you stopped going. So when the church reopened again, that become your new life routine, staying at home Sunday morning. Even though for the last 30 years, you've been going to worship Him every Sunday morning, but you stopped for a year and a half. Now when the church opened again, you stop doing, because that become your new routine. Our routine and our environment is more challenging. is more controlling than our will. Our will, we want to do the right thing for God, but our environment sometimes, if every Sunday you have to go and play golf with your buddies, and then they keep calling you every Saturday night, it's hard for you to get out of it. You know there's certain things you're not supposed to do, but you put it right in front of you, and it's so easy for you to reach out to it, and you keep committing it. Our circumstances control us, like the Israelites. They cannot get out of this idol worshiping. They have temples for Baal to worship idols. It's so convenient, they cannot get out of it. But God is love. God has mercy. Even though his people are disobedient to him, will not submit to him, for my own name's sake, I delay my wrath. For the sake of my praise, I hold it back from you, so as not to destroy you completely. Even though God is mad, God is sometimes mad at us, doing things that we are not supposed to do, and not doing things we are supposed to do, to worship him, to praise him, to love people, less gossip. Sometimes we just cannot control. But God is good. God has mercy. God loves us. Even though his people, like the ox, would not obey, submit to the farmer to follow God, but God still forgave them. God did not destroy them completely. And in this chapter 48, from 17 to 19, if you read this, you can feel the love, kindness of a father. If only you had paid attention to my commands, your peace would have been like a river, your well-being like the waves of the sea, so soft, so kind. Your descendants would have been like the sand, your children like its numberless grains. Their name will never be blotted out, nor destroyed from before me. God's blessings will pour upon you. God is love. And it's our problem is because of our disobedience to him. Our challenge, our trial, is because we are not willing to submit to him and follow him. And we stay in that environment, in the circumstances, we cannot get out of it. Sometimes we do not want to get out of it. We're doing things that we are not supposed to do, but just keep doing it in a vicious circle. Sometimes we do not want to get out of it. Psychologist Carol Dweck said, I'm reading her book recently, believing that your qualities are carved in stone creates an urgency to prove yourself over and over. I am just like that. I cannot change. Don't change me. I'm too old. We sometimes think that we cannot change people. That is partially true. It's very hard to change people. I see people, I met them for many years, decades. It's always the same. We cannot change people. And sometimes because we reinforce ourselves, I am like that, I cannot change. I am like that, I just like to talk bad things about people. I cannot control, I don't want to change. I'm quite happy with that. But God wants us to change. And for us to get out of this vicious circle of sin, or this vicious circle of not obeying him, we need to change and put up a new life. We got to put on new clothes, like Ephesians 4:22-24. It says, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds and to put on new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. We got to change, like our clothes, we need to change. We need to change our circumstances. Put your cell phone in another room at night. Then you will not wake up in the middle of the night and start checking your messages. Don't even get close to illegal drugs. Stay away from it. If your friends are giving you bad influence, stay away from them. Change. Meet with Christians. Change your circumstances, environment. You may not want to come to worship, but come. And then you'll be encouraged. That's why the Bible encourages that we have to meet regularly as a family of God. Staying home by yourself to worship is not enough. We need encouragement, support from each other. Otherwise, if you stay home, slowly you will get cold. So force yourself. Change your circumstances. On Sunday morning, instead of doing this and that, come to church so that you get support. Let this become your quote-unquote routine, and so that you can continue to walk in God's will. If you don't change, God may change you. And sometimes we find that some people, they will not change, just keep eating junk food, does not look after herself, himself. And sometimes God have to change the situation. And that's why sometimes when people have a heart attack and their whole life change, and then they realize there's a crisis. Sometimes people bring crisis to our life. I'm not saying that every crisis, every health issue is because God wants to fix you up. No, we are just getting old. Our body is getting weak. We'll just have to go through this life process. But sometimes God gives you a change in your health status, your situation, your financial situation, is to wake you up, to make you change, so that you don't continue to have this stiff neck, bronze forehead, because you refuse to budge. So God have to help you out, like he helped the Israel people. They were exiled. They were exiled into Babylon. See, I have refined you. Verse 10, I have refined you, though not as silver. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. So I look up the word refine. Refine is actually engineering work. It has been refinery, smell, smelter, refine to test. Smelter, refiner, goldsmith. How you refine to melt gold. So how do we refine gold today? Well, first, you have to mine the rock. So this is an open pit mine. I can spend hours on this. And you know how big this hole is? You see the little truck down there? You see this little truck down here? You see? This truck is not a little truck. This truck is bigger than your house. It's a big, giant truck. It's about $3 or $4 million for one, more expensive than my house. It's a big truck. So day and night, you take out all these rocks. And then you build a very compact plant, process plant, a huge plant, like several football field the size. And you process all these rocks, you crush it, and then you filter it, you wash it, and you put cyanide in it. Yes, you use cyanide to extract the gold out. So after this process, filtration, all this process, and then at the end of this huge plant, you have a small furnace room, a very small room. And there's a little furnace, gold furnace, where you pour out the gold. This is the 0.95 gold. It's a long process, and then you melt the gold, and after that you melt it again to over 1,000 degrees. Then you end up with this 12.5 kilo gold bar. And how much rock you need to produce that depends on the how much gold in the rock. It can be anywhere from 5 ton to 25 ton. So 25 ton of rock is a lot of rock. So after this process, you end up with this 12.5 kilo of gold, the worth a lot of money. So the gold will be melted at 1,064 degrees Celsius. Right, Chris? I'll check with my son. I think it's 1,064 degrees Celsius. And then you get this gold that is no impurity, 0.999. And then you will say, if God burn out all my impurity and sin, I have nothing left. I have nothing left. I am just a sinner, like all of you. I'm a sinner. I thought to God, God, if you extract gold, extract me like gold, I have nothing left. So God said, no, I have refined you, though not as silver. I am not burning everything, all your sin away, because then you have nothing, because we will always be a sinner until we see him that day. So we always be incomplete. We always try to be like God, but God would not burn us to nothing. God will always in test, in trial, in refining us, God always give us a way out. God always stopped when we can, God, I can take no longer. God doesn't take pressure in seeing us going through this process. God is love. At the right time, he'll let us come out. We'll never be put 999. Go, don't worry. I have refined you, though not as silver. The Israelites, they were exiled. The country was destroyed. They become slaves. They were exiled. They brought to Babylon. But God took them back. But when they came back, they no longer, in history, we know that they no longer have temples to worship idols. Well, they no longer have a formal system of worshiping idols. Yes, this process of exiling to Babylon did cleanse them, refine them, because when they came back, they no longer have this structure, system, physical worshiping idol. The circumstances, God removed it. But even though we know that even after they were returned, they continue, is their heart did not change. God can remove all our external idols, but the idols in our hearts still in there. They still in there. That's why in the New Testament, Jesus still called them their hypocrites, the legalistic, because in their heart, the idols are still there. Isaiah continue to conclude the message and the warning to call us leave Babylon, flee from the Babylonians, announce this with shouts of joy and proclaim it, send it out to the ends of the world, leave Babylon. The Israel people did leave Babylon, but Babylon has a different meaning. It's a spiritual meaning. Babylon represents pride, stubbornness, the world, comfort. In Revelation 18, verse 1 and 4, the book, the Revelation mentioned again about leaving Babylon. Fallen is Babylon the Great. She has become a dwelling for demons. Come out of her, my people, so that you will not share in her sins, so that you will not receive any of her praise. So Bible represents a situation for us today that we cannot get out. A bad habit, a sin, a vicious cycle. We try to be good, we try to change, but we cannot. So the Isaiah here said, get out of it. You need to get out of that circumstances. If you are addicted to gambling, get out of it. Don't go into a casino. Don't say that you just go in there to take a look. You will gamble. Don't just take a look at these drugs. It's not good for you. He said, I'm not going to take the drugs, but just look at it. I just keep it in case. Don't stay away from it. And instead, worship God with his people. You've been staying away from God for many years now. You need to get out of this routine, get out of this situation, and go back to God's family to worship with him. And if you have not been reading the Bible for a long time, start this habit again. You may have to go in and go force yourself to read it. And then once you realize reading the God's word is really an enjoyment, is an energy, strength for the day, then you will not want to go back to not reading the Bible again. So the prophet Isaiah is saying that get out of your circumstances, your situation that's holding you, making you stubborn, not willing to submit to the Lord. You need to get out of your Babylon, because there is no peace, said the Lord, for the wicked. Staying in your Babylon, staying in your circumstances, there is no peace there. But instead, if only you had paid attention to my commands, if you follow me, submit to my guidance, your peace would have been like a river, your well-being like the waves of the sea. Let's pray together. Father God, help us. We know that you are purifying us, refining us, but have mercy on us. Let us wake us up so that we can submit to you, so that we can grow, so that we can follow you, and help us to soften up our muscles on the neck. Help us not be a stiff neck Christian, and so that we can follow you and enjoy the peace that you promise to us. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.